In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Tuesday, February 7th, 2017 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. President Donald Trump signed executive orders last week that would add thousands more Border Patrol agents, more detention centers, and authorize existing federal funds for the, quote, immediate construction of a physical wall, unquote. This follows up on his campaign promise offered to the American people.
On day one, we will begin working on an impenetrable, physical, tall, powerful, beautiful southern border wall.
The World View spoke to Dave Ray of the Federation for American Immigration Reform, who compared the one-time cost of the border wall versus the exorbitant annual cost of illegal aliens.
A study conducted by the Federation for American Immigration Reform found that illegal immigration costs American taxpayers $113 billion annually. So while it costs $15 to $25 billion one time to put up the wall and to deter illegal immigration, the cost of doing nothing is astronomically higher. In fact, in about a month's worth or two of illegal immigration, we would have the wall paid for and lots of change to spare.
Their $113 billion estimate of the annual cost of illegal aliens to the American taxpayers even takes into account the taxes that the illegals pay for goods and services. The top four federal outlays for illegal aliens by percentage are 29% for public school education, 27% for law enforcement, 21% for health care, and 16% for public assistance. Vice President Mike Pence acknowledged his support for homosexuality on ABC's This Week. He touted the president as the, quote, very first Republican nominee to mention the LGBTQ community at our Republican National Convention and was applauded for it, unquote. And Pence said, quote, I was there applauding with him, unquote. Pence defended the president's continued support for President Obama's policy that forbids federal contracting with firms that take a position against homosexuality. Obama issued the executive order number 13672, just 2 years ago in July of 2014. President Trump has yet to sign an executive order protecting religious freedoms for Christians. The Norwegian Lutheran Church has voted to permit their pastors to conduct homosexual faux weddings. The officiating text for weddings will be modified to make it gender neutral. They join the Evangelical Church in Germany, the German Lutherans, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Finland, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Geneva, the Evangelical Lutherans in the United States, the Church of Iceland, the Church of Denmark, the Church of Sweden, and the Protestant Church in the Netherlands in the apostasy of the West. Romans 11:20 says, because of unbelief, their branches are broken off. Do not be haughty, but fear, for if God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either. The Roman Catholic Church is ravaged by more scandals, as reported in The Independent. Now, a priest in Padua, Italy, is being accused of committing fornication with 30 women and bringing sexual sin into the church itself. The church is looking at defrocking one priest and allowing another priest involved to continue in his ministry because, quote, his involvement was partial and occasional, unquote. Conservatives and liberals alike are watching the Betsy DeVos confirmation vote for Secretary of Education, expected later today. It's a 50-50 split now, with Vice President Mike Pence likely to break the tie. Leftist groups, teachers' unions, and others are funding television ads and jamming phone lines at the nation's capital to stop the nomination. Homeschooling parents in New York City are suing after the family was needlessly investigated by Child Protective Services. Directly after registering her children for homeschooling, Tanya Acevedo received a knock on the door from the local CPS investigating her for, quote, educational neglect, unquote. The Homeschool Legal Defense Association is helping with the legal challenge. The sports gurus are calling it the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history. the New England Patriots were trailing behind the Atlanta Falcons 28-3 towards the end of the third quarter and plowed back to tie the score by the end of the fourth. A touchdown in overtime gave the victory to the Patriots. Quarterback Tom Brady is the first to take his team to 5 Super Bowl wins. But he did not give the glory to God. Major media sources reported that Brady used the word hell several times to describe the game. We remember from Acts 12:23 that because Herod did not give praise to God, an angel of the Lord struck him down. And that's the world view in 5 minutes on this Tuesday, February 7th in the year of our Lord, 2017. Invite your friends to listen to this unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
Welcome to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. Steve Vaughn also in studio, just a couple of homeschooling dads, engaging in conversation on the modern culture and trying to draw biblical applications to our own lives. And that, of course, is most important. But now let's take a look at what's going on with the Boy Scouts one more time. You may have heard that the Boy Scouts now allow transgender children into the program, Steve.
I did hear that.
And what's interesting is I read the story from Fox News. They had it categorized under personal freedoms.
Under what?
Personal freedoms. Personal freedoms. Fox News. Now, do you know who Fox News is?
Oh, yeah.
Fox News is a conservative. It's supposed
we
to be,
report, you decide.
It's supposed to be the unbiased. You know, yeah. There's no such thing as unbiased. We always want a world view. But here, Fox News has placed this particular story. Boy Scouts allow transgender children into programs. Now, Fox News puts that under their personal freedoms category. Now, do they have a worldview here that is operating? How do you define freedom? Now, you know how Jesus defined freedom. If the Son will set you free, you will be free indeed. Free from what? Jesus said free from sin. Sin is the bondage. The violation of the laws of God is the bondage we're talking about. Now, see, that's our worldview. Fox News doesn't believe this. Fox News is libertarian, libertine. Fox News hates the laws of God, as far as we can tell. And what I would do is put this under not the personal freedoms category, but I would file this under something like the outrageous abominations category. See the difference now between worldviews?
Yeah, I'm thinking they don't have that one.
Yeah, I don't think they have that. No, I don't think they have that one.
Yeah.
You're right. Boy Scouts allowing transgender children into programs, friends, from FoxNews.com. And, you know, it's a crazy thing. But, they adopted a pro-homosexual approach to, first of all, the Scouts themselves, then to Scout leaders. I don't know if they are advising pedophilia at this point. I don't think they are. But I'd have to check because remember, of course, that's the homosexual worldview all the way back from the Greeks in the Greek gymnasium. The whole idea was to incorporate a mentorship that involved pedophilia. That's the idea of the gymnasium that, of course, the humanist world of the modern age has adopted from the old Greeks. They brought in a strong sports emphasis, disclothing, showering together, and moving on towards the Sandusky approach to the gymnasium. That has been the direction set by the modern world over the last 100 years. So we all know that. That's obvious. We're not quite to pedophilia yet, but bringing homosexual mentors into an organization and encouraging homosexuality amongst the youth and then transgendering the youth fits very, very well into the transgendered gymnasium concept that the Greeks gave us some years before Christ came, who, by the way, was able through a period of hundreds of years to purge the world from some of the most egregious and wicked abominations that the world has ever known. And homosexuality was pretty much eliminated by the third or fourth centuries. So that's just history. That's the progress Christ made. And of course, Jesus Christ also made tremendous progress through the missionary movement in Mexico and the sodomy and the human sacrifice that went on to the tune of hundreds of thousands of people was pretty much eliminated by the later 1500s. So now it's coming back. Of course, homosexuality and human sacrifice, ergo abortion, coming back in our century since about 1973. So just to remind you that the Lord Jesus Christ was able to bring about a transformation of culture and social systems by the discipleship of nations over a period of hundreds of years. Don't get the idea that it comes primarily through the political state. All the socialists and all the communists listening to the program get all excited when I start talking about the influence Christ made on culture, because they think that it all happened by politics. No, no, it happens by the preaching of the gospel and the changing of the culture. And then the political laws change about 100 to 200 years later. That's the part that the socialists don't understand, because their only form of salvation is political. But anyway, whatever's happening right now is a reversion to the old Greek humanism and the paganism that we find in most of these old primitive paganistic societies.
Yeah. So when are the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts just going to meld and just get together and just call them the Scouts?
Be
the Scouts, because eventually it's all going to be the same, and they're just going to start to allow whatever you want. You've got transgender, you're going to have the gender, the race, the race confusion, gender confusion,
handicap confusion.
Yeah,
you can
species,
choose,
yeah,
species.
Yeah.
So a 9-year-old boy says, I just feel like I'm a 14-year-old African American female.
Yeah.
Does he get to come into the Boy Scouts too?
So I think it's going to have to be just the self-identity Scouts.
Well, friends, this is, of course, the irrationality of a world that has abandoned Christ and apostatized against Jesus, and he gives them up to a debased mind. He gives them up to a corrupted mind. He gives them up to irrationality such that the inmates are now running the asylum officially. Be back in just a moment with more on the Generations Broadcast.
For many centuries, liberal arts education in Christian high schools and colleges has had a fatal flaw. The great humanist thinkers have led millions of Christian young people astray through the very doors of Christian liberal arts classrooms. Unless we introduce a critical analysis of worldview into liberal arts education, Christian education will be utterly consumed by the humanists. And that is why Generations is pleased to present Worldviews in Conflict, a high school or college introduction to and critical analysis of the philosophers, the literary masters, and the cultural influencers of the last 300 years. A refreshing improvement of most philosophy and literature courses, this course is filled with relevant biblical truths that address the false worldviews of the great secular humanist works. If you want your children to be part of the next generation of faithful Christian leaders, equip them to critically evaluate the works of Karl Marx, Ralph Waldo Emerson, Nathaniel Hawthorne, Steven Spielberg, William Shakespeare, Mark Twain. Get the Worldviews in Conflict Literature and Philosophy course and the free Jean-Jacques Rousseau Study Guide at generations.org.
Welcome back to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you. And today we are addressing the deconstruction of the Boy Scouts after, about 120 years. And thankfully, TrailLifeUSA.com is a Christian version of the Boy Scouts. After 3 years in service, it turns out Trail Life USA now claims 26,000 members in 48 states.
Wow.
That's huge growth.
Yeah, that's great.
That's huge growth. And it's an indication that, again, we're beginning to see Christians come out from among them, be separate, saith the Lord. Certainly, raise your children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. And do not stumble your children. If anybody should stumble, one of the least of these who believes in me, Jesus says, it would be better for him that a millstone be hanged around his neck and he be drowned at the bottom of the sea. Meaning that Christians have an obligation to see that their children are not stumbled and are not discipled wrongly by wrong mentors with the wrong worldview and the wrong ideas concerning sexuality. It is so crucial that Christians establish for themselves islands of culture, islands of freedom. And we've talked about this many times on the Generations broadcast. This is the direction that Christianity in the Western world is going. Yes, we are increasingly marginalized, but it's important for us to defend islands of culture, islands of freedom, islands away from the public school systems that will not teach the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. Christians must have islands of education, islands of Christian education, islands of K-12 education, islands of college level education. We've got to defend islands of culture, islands of education, islands of freedom in the area of healthcare, ergo the Christian healthcare sharing ministries and such. We've got to defend the islands for everything we are worth. And that, my friends, is the substance of my book, Freedom, available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org, by the way. All right, so TrailLifeUSA.com is somewhat of a saving organization for those who want to be salvaged off the Titanic. Thankfully, there are certain emergency life raft manufacturing centers going on the deck of the Titanic. We're thankful for that.
Yes.
Emergency life rafts, critical. Thankfully, there are those who are doing it in education and welfare, healthcare. And, of course, actually charity as well. And we need to encourage our churches to be sure that people are weaned off of Medicaid, Medicare, Social Security, and the rest. So that's why we encourage churches to engage in islands of culture in the area of welfare as well. So islands of culture, islands of freedom, absolutely essential for the survival, the bare survival of our civilizations, our society, our family life, our children, our future, our faith. Absolutely essential. All right, let's move on. We've got another story that I think we're not going to file under personal freedoms, as Fox News would. Yeah. Let's file this one under outrageous abomination as well. This is outrageous abomination category for news stories. Now, I don't think CNN has that category either. Outrageous abomination category for this news story. The first human pig embryo was made. Did you know that? Human pig embryo. That is a human pig chimera, which is, again, the Frankensteinian concept of creating a new creature, a creature that man would create, that Frankenstein would create. These are remarkable times, Steve, in which Frankenstein has appeared and Frankenstein is actually doing stuff. I don't believe we've ever lived in an era in which man has turned himself into Frankenstein and has actually created a human pig embryo. I don't believe we've ever lived in that at that time. Have we?
Well,
the
no,
Nazi doctors
so.
Did some stuff.
They did some pretty radical stuff.
They did, but they didn't do anything quite like this.
Yeah, the closest I think we've ever come is I think it was back in the 80s or 90s when they put a baboon heart in a man for a time because of a heart transplant and he couldn't find a heart for a while. So they tried it with a baboon heart for a while and it got rejected. And then so that's as close as we've gotten so far. But this is pretty nuts.
Big steps for a brave new world.
Yeah.
Big steps for a brave new world, my friends. Again, under the outrageous abomination category for the Generations News system, we find the first human pig embryos made. And according to CNN, this was first begun with an organization in the United States. And this organization, a guy by the name of Dr. Jun Wu, is a staff scientist in the Gene Expression Laboratory at the Salk Institute and the first author of the research. They started with putting a rat pancreas into a mouse. So that's where it began. Apparently, a rat and a mouse cannot mate and reproduce.
Yeah, that's my understanding. They're not the same kind in that sense.
That's right. They cannot reproduce. They've attempted it a few times, but they can't reproduce. It just doesn't work. God has not hardwired this into the system where a rat and a mouse can reproduce into something like a rice or a mat.
Yeah.
You can't get a rice and a mat. You simply can't get one. And the stem cells developed into a rat pancreas within a mouse embryo and ultimately grew into a healthy mouse with a normal lifespan. So they were very excited about that. We were able to do that. We were able to take a rat pancreas, put it in a mouse embryo, and the thing was born. The thing lived a normal lifespan. So that was a big deal. So that was the first step in all of this. Then they took stem cells from a human when adult cells are turned back into stem cells and inserted them into a pig embryo. And then they implanted the embryo, that is the embryo that had, was again, remember, a pig embryo with stem cells inserted into it. They put that into a sow, that is a mother pig, and they apparently were successful up to 4 weeks, and then they halted the experiment at 4 weeks.
Yeah, that comes from, I believe, the law made by the House of Commons in Great Britain, where they would allow for a human chimera embryo. And a chimera embryo is when you mix two different species that don't would never mate or get, you know, go along with each other. They only allow for 4 weeks anyway before they have to be destroyed.
Okay.
So,
well, it was the first reported case in which a human stem cells began to grow within another species. And that, my friends, has just happened most recently. Now, we're going to ask the question, what does the Bible say about that? We're going to go to, what does God say about that in the Word of God? We ask that question a lot. I've got a little course for 9 and 10-year-olds called What Does the Bible Say About That? I encourage it for whole families. I encourage it for doctors, by the way. I also encourage it for senators and governors and presidents.
Yeah.
It's What Does the Bible Say About That? It's a very basic book on what the Bible says about stuff. See, in other words, friends, you got to come to the point at which you say, what does God say? I'm going to submit to God. And that's the fundamental problem here. Scientists have no interest. And many pastors have little interest in submitting to what God says in the book of Deuteronomy, for example.
Yeah. So when you go to the concordance, I don't think you're going to find, you know, human pig embryo in the...
But you'll find something similar to it.
Yeah.
You'll find something similar to it. And we're going to go to that in just a moment. Because there's another story filed again under egregious abominations. Here it is again. This is the first time, and a lot of firsts are happening right now, friends. This is the year 2017, in the year of our Lord. 2017 years, some about 160 years after Charles Darwin did his best to release the entire Western world from 2,000 years of the fixed and final, as John Dewey would put it. But yes, we have been released. The Western world sees itself as released from God and from God's laws. We are in total autonomy now, and scientists are doing whatever they want to do. And that's what scientists do. Why? Because scientists and lawyers, attorneys that are being raised up in Harvard Law School, where evolutionary perspectives of law and metaphysics are being taught, these new lawyers, these new attorneys, these political giants that are going to lead the Supreme Court of the United States, they were not taught in God's laws. They have been released from 2,000 years of the fixed and the final. And so about 150 years after Charles Darwin showed up to release modern man from the restrictions of God, and so that man in toto could come together and say, let us break his bands asunder, let us cast his cords away from us. Of course, he that is in the heavens shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision. Keep that in mind as well. Well, finally, there's a controversial IVF technique that has produced a baby girl, but the baby girl was produced as a consequence of the genetic material of two mothers and one father. This is the first in human history, as far as I know. She was born January 5th in the Ukraine, I believe.
So what's the purpose of two mothers and one father?
Well, what happens is that some women have a mitochondrion issue. They have mitochondrion diseases that can be passed on to their children. And so if you take the mitochondria of the egg and you replace it with the mitochondria from another egg, from another mother, that is genetic material from another mother, then this will reduce the odds of the child having any kind of mitochondrion disease.
Well, it seems then on the outset that they're doing this for a good purpose.
Oh, yeah. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, Steve.
Yeah.
You've heard that before.
I think I have.
Yeah, I think so. But, you know, the problem with modern science, side effects. Have you ever heard of the term side effects? Steve, you're in the medical community.
Yes.
You're a registered nurse.
Yes.
You've got your own business,
yes,
a booming business in the Denver metro area. So you're very familiar with hospitals. But have you ever heard of the term side effects?
Yeah.
Have you ever gotten some drug, some new drug, and you open up the paperwork and it just kind of unfolds,
yeah,
and it's like 2-point font.
Yes.
And it goes on for paragraph after paragraph, and you really need a microscope to read the font.
Yes.
Have you ever seen the side effects? See, modern science is very proud. Man has accomplished so much, and he's going to solve every problem.
That's right.
Scientifically. And he's going to be sure that the average person will live longer than Moses said people would live when he gave us the Psalm 890, when he said, you know, best case, you're going to live to 75, and you know, some people live to 80 on average.
Yeah.
Do you know how long the average person lives today, Steve, in America?
About 75 days.
75 days. Yeah, exactly. So medical science has done a lot of good.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
I'm going to make it to 200.
And Steve, we are spending $12 trillion a year.
Yeah.
Or whatever it is.
Yeah. And
to be sure that we live a little bit longer.
Than 80.
Yeah. 74.
Yeah.
I said 74.
Yeah. Okay. Wow.
Do these people understand what they're doing?
No, they think that they can do anything they want because they've divorced themselves from the one who created life.
It turns out side effects, Steve, side effects, the side effects of all these medical breakthroughs, well, oftentimes they turn out to be full frontal effects. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
Not just side effects, but full frontal effects. You know the difference between a side effect and a full frontal effect?
Yeah, the full frontal's a bit worse. Yeah,
hit you in the front of the head with a baseball bat kind of effect.
Like, we shouldn't have done that.
Yeah. Oops. There's an oops.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, my friends, humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. Humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. Do you know why I laugh at modern science and modern medical stuff? Well, he that is in the heavens shall laugh. But the real reason is because they're so proud, Steve. They're proud. Have you ever run into a scientist, a medical scientist who's proud? Yeah, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
It's everywhere. There's some exceptions, yes. Now, we have some guys with doctorate degrees, and I know guys with doctorate degrees that are actually some of the most humble men I've met. But friends, that's not common among the humanists. The entire systems are based upon the hubris of man. The pride of man. It's huge. Huge, 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 huge. That's what science has been about for the last 150 years. Now, between about 1600 and 1850, science was fairly humble, and they lifted their arms and they were praising the living God for his amazing creation. This is what we find with Robert Boyle, Newton, and others. But you get to Charles Darwin. You find Charles Darwin lifting his arms saying, praise be to God, what has he created? You find him saying that? No, they haven't said that much for 150 years.
Yeah.
I'm talking about mainstream science here. Oh, man, we are at the point of destroying ourselves, Steve.
Yeah.
The science that we thought would save us turns out it'll destroy us. Why? Because they didn't fear God, and they wouldn't teach the beginning of knowledge and wisdom as the fear of God. This is one reason I caution people who go into nursing and engineering and science. They walk into secular universities in which is the beginning of knowledge taught to be the fear of God.
No.
And when it is not, it's extremely dangerous. Extremely dangerous. Modern universities that teach science, medical science, nursing, and engineering are extremely dangerous. But why, you say? Because the beginning of knowledge is the fear of God. And if you lose that foundation, you will, over time, destroy knowledge. And you'll destroy yourselves. You'll destroy your societies. Well, let's talk about Dr. Frankenstein's world. Deuteronomy 22 and verse 5 says, a woman shall not wear anything that pertains to a man, nor shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all who do so are an abomination to the Lord your God. Do you remember the story we started with on this edition of the program?
Yeah.
Had something to do with a little 8-year-old transgendering himself in his garment and his bodily organs, arguing from lesser to greater, it's an abomination to God. It's a great abomination to God. Now, of course, you know, people have rejected God's laws. And I hear people all the time saying, I've rejected God's laws. I don't believe in theonomy. I don't like theonomy. I don't like God's laws. And I don't like Deuteronomy. Well, friends, we'll see how that works out on Judgment Day. Jesus said on Judgment Day, many have said to me, Lord, Lord, I've done all these things. But I will say to them, depart from me, you anomias, your antinomians. Be very careful with how you handle the laws of God. Be sure that you do not reject it, hook, line, and sinker. So now I know there are many Christians who still embrace the laws of God, but we've got to be very cautious. Jesus said, not a jot, not a tittle. So be very careful. Now, those who oppose God's laws, always go back to Deuteronomy 22. They'll say, oh, look at these stupid laws in Deuteronomy 22 about a woman not wearing anything that pertains to a man, transgenderism. Why in the world would God include that there? Well, it may be that God doesn't like this abomination. It continues to be so. It's a moral abomination to God. Now, there is something called a ceremonial law. We understand that. There is the blood sacrifice that was satisfied by Jesus. He's the modern-day application of that. That's clear. But let's move on. Very same chapter. It's interesting, Steve. As we went through the abominations on this edition of the program, you go right down from verse 5 to verse 8. What do you find? When you build a new house, then you shall make a parapet for your roof, that you may not bring guilt or bloodshed on your household if anyone falls from it. Well, now, do I say, well, there's another stupid law? Is that what I say? Mm-hmm. Or do I say, well, there's another wise law that we need to preserve that. You got to put fences around swimming pools and things. If you risk the loss of human life by people falling because there's rooftop entertainment going on, or there's entertainment going on in your backyard around a pool and you're not watching out, there's no fence around the pool for the 2-year-olds who are crawling around, you know, you could see some loss of life. God says, let's avoid some negligence here by putting some safety precautions in place. And we find safety precautions everywhere because of this law. Now let's move on to the very next verse. The very next verse, Steve. Here it goes. You ready?
Yeah.
Again, God's laws. People find these things of no use whatsoever today. You shall not sow your vineyard with different kinds of seeds, lest the yield of the seed which you have sown and the fruit of your vineyard be defiled. You shall not plow with an ox and a donkey together. You shall not wear a garment of different sorts, such as wool and linen, mixed together. Well, now, people say, oh boy, now there you go. There's some laws that have no obvious application whatsoever today. Very odd that he should talk about the mixing of animal fiber and plant fiber.
Mm-hmm.
He's concerned about the mixing of animal fiber and plant fiber. Now, he's not talking about plant and plant. He's not talking about animal and animal. He's talking about animal and plant. Now, could it be that God is concerned about the mixing of animal fiber and human fiber?
Maybe so.
Do you think that maybe God, who understands something about life, may have applied some Old Testament applications that would lead us to a more fundamental principle, even as the parapet law? The parapet law applies in a situation where we need to know the principle for which it applies, Steve. I don't think we need to put parapets around every roof based upon Deuteronomy 22. Why? Because the situation changes in which rooftop entertainment doesn't happen. You follow me here?
Yes.
And yet there are situations in which people are up on high porches, people are sitting around swimming pools, in which there needs to be some level of protection going on. So again, there are modern day applications for the principles of God's word found in Deuteronomy 22. Why? Because God has put his word in place such that his word will perfectly equip the man of God, every scientist in every era from 1600 BC to the present day. People say, well, could God know the kind of situations that would arise in 2017 and provide principles that might apply to the situations some 3,000 years ago? Could God be that wise? What's your answer to that, Steve?
Can he be? He is.
Of course he is. Of course he is. Of course these laws have relevant application of some sort today. Arguing from lesser to greater. Arguing from the application to the principle back to an application that would be perfectly applicable in our day to day. Now, there certainly are biblical principles as well that say, hey, we should not be mating animals in which reproduction is not certain. This is a caution. Why? Because God appreciates reproduction, and he doesn't want genetic dead ends. You say, well, why does God want reproduction? Because he does. And I'll leave it there. Well, my friends, this is a brave new world. If Christians have no answers, if pastors have no answers, if you're not hearing radio programs and if you're not hearing sermons that equip the man of God for every good work, in the brave new world in which we live today, go somewhere where you'll hear the answers. What does the Bible say about that? You need to get our little introduction to a basic biblical worldview for 9-year-olds, 10-year-olds, 11-year-olds, 12-year-olds, and 84-year-olds. You need to get our little What Does the Bible Say About That book. It's only about 140 pages long. It's got crossword puzzles and fun things for the 12-year-old and the 22-year-old, if you like crossword puzzles. You'll find this little book, What Does the Bible Say About That, at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. I'd encourage you to that resource today. It's called What Does the Bible Say About That? An important question for anybody who's got a biblical worldview. Again, the resource is available at generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Steve Vaughn in studio, and we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.